Welcome to the Embodied CEO Podcast. I'm Brooke.
And I'm Kirsten. We are integrative performance dietitians, entrepreneurs, and business mentors.
And we're tired of RDs not fully stepping into their power.
In this podcast, we're empowering RDs to use their fucking voice and expertise. There's not just a seat at the table for you, but you are the head of the table.
It's time to usher in a new paradigm of leadership as professionals and business owners. We're here to shake things up and have a damn good time doing it. So let's get started.
Hello, hello, good morning. I'm so excited to see you both. We have two people with me today. How are you?
Hi.
Good. Hello.
Very excited.
So for everyone listening, super stoked. We have Brooke, obviously, because we always have Brooke with me. But we also have, at this point, my friend. I'm just going to call you my friend because at this point, you're my friend, even though I have never actually met you in person. Carla, and I'm going to say her name in German for all of you non-Germans out there, Biesinger, but Carla Biesinger for the rest of us. Carla and I met 4 years ago at this point. Probably. It's been a minute.
I think so. Yeah.
Through the gram, because that's how we meet everybody. But Carla, tell everyone real quick who you are, what you do, and we'll go from there.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. So my name is Carla Biesinger, like you perfectly said in your perfect German accent. I am an online course creator. I live in Lisbon, Portugal, and I work with women and help them grow their businesses and income through Instagram and funnels.
Which I love. And when I first found you, this is a side note, we do a lot of tangents on here. If you haven't heard our podcast, we get off the track often, but off track often. But anyway, I first found you when I was kind of scaling my business online. And what connected me was not only you have a ton of knowledge about Instagram, obviously, but you just showed up and I knew who you were. Do you know what I mean? Like you were just perfectly capable of translating Carla onto Instagram, which I think is a huge challenge for most people to translate who they are onto Instagram. But with you, I saw you and I was like, I feel like I know her. Like, I don't know her clearly, but I feel like I know her. And you were just so open and genuine. Anyway, this is a total side note, but that's what first drew me in and had me take that first course with you and kept me connected. So whatever you're doing, keep doing that because it's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's important. You need to know that because this is the space in which you live, right? And you're doing a great job with that. But the reason I asked you to be on this podcast with us today is because what we're all about here at the Embodied CEO is A, supporting female business owners, but we're not exclusive. The guys are welcome too. But in our profession as dietitians, the majority just happen to be female. And we're all about representing authentic ways to grow our businesses, being empowered to just be who we are and show up. And yes, we're allowed to make a shit ton of money. And yes, we are allowed to have huge amounts of impact. And yes, we are still allowed to live our lives and do what we want to do in the process and not have to conform to any type of, you know, here's the blueprint, here are the lines within which you have to color. So you were immediately a person that came to mind because I have watched you over the last 4 years and I know snippets of your story of how you kind of got here. But we would love to share with our listeners kind of how you got into entrepreneurship, where your story started, and then we'll pick back up where you are today. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us your first business, which I know where it started, tell us where that was and kind of what transpired.
Yes. So I like to call myself an accidental entrepreneur because I definitely never had the idea to be my own boss. I studied in Australia, went to business school because I didn't know what else to do. Then from there, moved to Argentina, and that's where I met my boyfriend, who had just started putting on these dinners together with his best friend, who is a chef, inviting tourists into their home, kind of giving them a tour of Argentina through gastronomy and wine and just a little bit of guiding to just kind of show them like what it is they eat, what it is mate, tea, how do you make it? And we started dating. I was looking for a job in order to be able to stay in Argentina, and I literally could not get a job. I went to so many job interviews and no one would hire me. And I definitely didn't think that I had absolutely no qualifications, but it just wasn't meant to be, I guess. And so eventually it was like, okay, I guess I'm going to have to leave because I've already been kind of milking my parents in order to extend my stay. And at that point, he basically said, why don't you start working with us? we need a German in the team. We're definitely not organized and efficient. And I said, okay, let's do it.
That is the German's job, by the way, to keep us organized and efficient. That Brooke knows. That's my job here. Keep us on time and on track.
So that's when we moved into this really big restaurant, hired a team. And basically, that's when all the problems started, because none of us had any experience in how to manage a team, run a restaurant. Our investor was Argentina's number one poker player, so he had no idea about business at all. And so basically, for the next 2 years, we were struggling hardcore. Like, we had put all the money we got into renovating the restaurant and paying 6 months rent upfront, which was kind of our saver. And then we had to, like, Leon had to ask his mom for $10,000 so that we could keep going. We had to continue to ask the investor for more money. And it was just awful. Like, we were working so hard, 16-hour days. And just, you know, as soon as we thought, okay, this month we'll make a profit, there was some unexpected thing that happened, like the roof breaking or an unexpected new music tax that got introduced, where we then all of a sudden were in debt again. And so that went on for about 2 years. And at that point, I was just miserable. But I couldn't really see myself leaving this guy or leaving this restaurant, because I also didn't know what else I was going to do. My corporate career was about 6 months long, and I didn't really want to go back to Australia. I definitely didn't want to go to Germany. And so I was just really scared of changing anything in my life. And at the same time, I was super unhappy, to a point where I was just drinking loads. Like, we had a restaurant, so we had access to free wine, which was not a good idea.
Sounds like a nice perk in theory, but probably not so great in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Free wine and free fillet steak. That was my diet.
Not ideal, but you're still here, so
as
that's dietitians, great.
Yeah, but, you know.
Right. Not ideal. We're missing a few food groups. But I want to just pause real quick, because, like, that alone, I think, will be enough to make most people just fold.
Yeah.
And say, I'm done, and I'm going to move home, and I'm going to go, you know, live with mom and have her cook for me and nurse my wounds, right, until I feel like I can face the world again. How did you continue moving after that? Because obviously you're now a very successful entrepreneur. I don't want to call you a solopreneur, because I know you have a team that supports you, but you went on this journey. How after that?
Yeah. So actually, funny you say that, because I definitely did move back in with my mom when I was 29. So we had actually gotten an invitation to move to Barcelona in Spain to start a restaurant there. And we did that. We kind of had the team in Argentina that was taking care of everything, but things weren't really working. And then we were kind of thinking, okay, let's move to Spain. This is our ticket out. And then last minute, the investment didn't come through. And that was really that, like, moment where I felt like someone just, like, ripped the floor underneath my feet. And I was like, what are we going to do? We had no money. I said, I'm not going back to Argentina. So we booked a flight to my mom's place. Leon, in the end, ended up going back to Argentina. And I just said, I'm not going back there. Like, you could not pay me to go back there. And that's when I kind of thought, who do I know who could maybe offer me a job and just kind of give me a next step? And I reached out to a friend who I had met in college. He was living in Mexico at the time, and he had started an online marketing agency, and he offered me a job. So I moved to Cancun. He said, I can't pay you very much, but you can live with me and you can work with me, and we'll just figure it out from here. And so that's what I did.
I love that you just, like, jumped in feet first everywhere. You're like, I'm going to go to Australia, and then I'm going to go to Argentina, and then, sure, Barcelona, why not? And then, well, I go back to Germany because I have to for a minute, but yeah, I'll move to Cancun. Like, I freaking love that about you. Like, you and Brooke have so much in common with the whole, like, I'm just going to go to the place and figure it out. I love that.
I think for me, just the one thing that I always knew was I don't want to live in Germany, and I don't want to live that, like, life, you know, where you get a job, get married.
Because it's very like anti-German, right? Because you and I are both German by birth, but it's very anti-German to not have a lot of structure and to just kind of fly by the seat of your pants and just go figure stuff out. That's not traditional German. And you have German parents, I'm assuming, like I have German parents who don't really get that, probably, I'm guessing. I don't know. I haven't met them. But when I first kind of told my parents what we were doing, and my husband is an entrepreneur and I'm an entrepreneur, my parents were like, what? Like, what the fuck? Who pays your money? Do you know what I mean? Like, they just didn't get it. Did you feel like that was an obstacle? Like, was that ever a thing with your family or not at all?
So my parents have actually been really supportive, even though I go to Australia when I was 19 and then being like, oh, by the way, I'm going to move to Argentina now, 6 years later. So it definitely was a struggle for her, and I couldn't imagine, like, I don't have any kids, but I'm just like, oh, being a parent does not sound like a very grateful job.
It's not. Let me tell you, as a parent of three, it is not. It's very hard. It's a lot of being yelled at and then letting go and all of that. It's also beautiful, but that's the summary. So you ended up in Cancun, and then what happened from there? Where did you go after Cancun? Because you didn't stay in Cancun.
So I stayed for about a year and a half. I was working with my friend for 6 months. And then I realized that I did not enjoy working for someone else. So it kind of worked out perfectly because he said he wasn't really sure he wanted to keep growing the team. So we kind of split after 6 years of starting a new business that would really give me the freedom to work anywhere I wanted to, without having a team. So for my goal for the first few years was just, I don't want to have any investors. I don't want to have any team members at all. I just want it to be me and my laptop and not have to report to anyone. And so I started taking a bunch of online courses to learn how to sell stuff online. And eventually I thought, I think I could create an online course. It doesn't seem to be very difficult. Little did I know. And that's when I started. So I had got this, I'm sure you've heard this from someone. It was at the time the best advice I'd gotten in my life, that if you want to start a business, you have to find something that's a combination of your skill set, your passion, and a gap in the market or a need in the market.
I love that.
Right. And so my biggest passion has always been food. I was in charge of the marketing and the online marketing for the restaurant. And, you know, it did grow to a seven-figure business eventually. It just took a few years to get there. I saw that need in the market for food entrepreneurs. That was my niche when I started out, who just were really amazing at what they did, but they had absolutely no idea about marketing, about social media, and how to do all of that kind of efficiently and in an effective way. So that was my niche. I decided I wanted to work with food entrepreneurs, teach them how to do social media in 15 minutes a day. That was my initial course idea. And so I started an Instagram account, Twitter account, Pinterest account, Facebook account. And within 6 months, my Instagram account had grown to over 10,000 followers. And that's kind of where it hit me. It was like, oh, somehow I seem to be really good at Instagram. And this was in 2015, 2016. Apparently, this is a tool that a lot of people are wanting to use. So why don't I just scrap my 15 minutes to social course idea and just go in all in on Instagram? And that's what I did. That's when I created my Instagram Secrets to Success course. And then, launched that kind of a few months later. And that's still to date my number one selling course.
That's amazing.
Which is so cool to know, because that's one of the courses I took of yours very early on. I think that's how we found each other, or how I found you. And it seemed so natural. Like you just said, you just seemed to be good at Instagram. It just seemed very natural. But I want to point out the bigger picture here of, it seems like you're good at a lot of things, because it takes a lot of wherewithal to step through all of that and still in the end say, yep, entrepreneurship really is for me. Even after you're knocked down, you know, 2, 3, 7 times, and then you still say, yeah, but I don't want to work for anyone else, and I don't want to be responsible for 1,000 people. I just want to do this thing so that I can be happy doing what I love.
Yeah. And, you know, there have definitely been times where I found myself looking at job descriptions online, because it was just such a struggle. Even in my second business, you know, the first few years, it was a lot of up, like more downs than ups, and just a lot of hustling, I was like, is this really worth it? But whenever I read these job descriptions that just sounded so boring, I just thought, I have to make it work.
There's so much resiliency there in your story. Were you ever fearful, or like, what was that experience like for you? Did you just keep pushing? You weren't really scared and you knew it worked, would work out?
I don't know. I think it's actually funny because I think I've been more scared of losing everything once I started making money than I was of making it when I didn't have any money. So for some reason, even when I was starting out, I still, like, I loved my life. I was kind of moving between New York and Barcelona and Mexico, and then I would live with my mom for 3 months to save money. But it was just such an exciting time that it was just, I had, you know, all the energy and all that hustle in me to just keep going. And then, yeah, funnily enough, once I started making more money and a lot of money, the fears came in that were like, oh my God, what if it's going to stop working? What if I lose it all? And that was a real mindset thing I had to work through in order to trust my journey and trust my process and just keep showing up instead of getting stuck in that fear.
You know, that's such an interesting point. One of my mentors says that often, where it's like the fear doesn't go away no matter what level you're at. The fear just changes, right? Like you're dependent on yourself for this business. And there's always a level of fear. And initially it might be, what if it doesn't work? Or how do I make next month's rent or whatever? But then at some point you've kind of, I don't want to say made it, because we're entrepreneurs, we're always growing, but we all know what we mean by that, right? Like you feel secure and you're like, I know what I'm doing and this thing is going and this is a legitimate business. And the fear just shifts. The fear just shifts into, what if now it all falls apart? What if I lose it all? What if I, you know, because I know you also have team members now, what if I now can't support my team? Like the fear just always evolves as the business evolves. At least that's what I've found.
Yeah. And I always hate to say that when I speak to new entrepreneurs and they tell me like, oh, this is my biggest fear. I'm like, I hate to break it to you, but it's not going to go away. So you just have to embrace it and just do yourself and how to control your thoughts. Because we definitely can do that.
Yeah. A lot of emotional intelligence goes into that emotional growth, I think, as we grow as entrepreneurs. But that's the beautiful thing of it. The more we trust that process and learn to trust ourselves in like, okay, I got through this, I will get through that next thing. I feel like the more we do that, the easier it is to carry that fear, right? Like we somehow expand to be able, it's kind of like parenthood. Neither one of you has kids, but let me explain that part. For the moms among us, it's kind of like parenthood. You think you can't possibly love the next child the same, but it just expands. This is the same. The capacity to hold all the things, the fear and the excitement and the growth and the, you know, activation for, ooh, I'm doing this thing. It just continues to grow as you get more established and as you grow in your business. At least that's been the case for me.
Yeah, I feel like entrepreneurship ends up being this like personal metamorphosis, like to step into what it means to be an entrepreneur. And I don't think I really knew that. I just had an idea and I was like, oh, I just need to check things off this list and magically I'll have a business. And so it's cool to see how much I've evolved and the people in my world, like you, Kirsten, that I know really well, and like watching other people's growth, because it is so much this emotional intelligence piece.
Yeah, and it's a personal journey, right? Which, Carla, if you had to sum up, and this might be a tall order, but if you had to sum up, what does it mean to you to be a solo female entrepreneur? Because I do want to make that distinction, because there are still less of us than there are of our male counterparts in general, right? What does it mean to you to know that you have stepped through this journey and here you are now a very successful solo female entrepreneur?
Yeah, I was actually talking about this recently with my boyfriend, because it's only been, I'm going to say, maybe 50 years that women really are running their own businesses, give or take.
Which is wild.
Which it's is wild. Wild. And yeah. I was saying to him, like, how long has the human race existed? And I actually had to Google it. It's kind of embarrassing. But 200,000 years. So 200,000 years of us existing as women and only 50 years of us literally bringing home the bacon. Like, that's a very short amount of time. And that's why I think as women, we're dealing with so many self-doubts and we're dealing with imposter syndrome and all of those things. So I think for me, what it means to be a female solo entrepreneur, it means, first of all, freedom and independence, which are hugely important to me. It means independence, you know, also in a way of wealth, like having my own money, not being dependent on a guy, but also being able to spread money in terms of supporting people in my team, giving money to charities or just other people. It means having the balls to do what you're meant to do and to go and the chase ovaries. That calling, the ovaries. Thank you.
Yeah, I love all of that so much. And you know, the thing that you just said about it's really only been 50 years, what I try to remind myself of is women have run so many things probably for those 200,000 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like we just didn't get paid for it. We just weren't recognized for it. If you think back, and clearly, you know, this is from what we know of history books, but tribal societies, it's the women that have always been in charge. It's the women that were the matriarchs that kept tribes together, that kept families together. And yeah, the men went out and, you know, got the buffalo, but like we were still the ones running the show. And I think when we have those moments of fear and doubt and self-criticism, because we are very hard on ourselves, much harder than men are on themselves. And I think this is twofold. We need to be less hard on ourselves. And I think sometimes men need to be more hard on themselves, but that's another conversation. But I think when I get to that point where I get overwhelmed or I get really hard on myself of like, you're not doing enough, you're not this, you know, how dare you, who do you think you are? I just remind myself that as women, we do all the things all the time and have for probably 200,000 years now that I know how long the human race has been alive, because you just educated us, like in its current state, right? So we know how to do these things. We just need to now have the ovaries to also step into the business side of things and say, we know how to do this. We just have not gotten a seat at the table. It hasn't been offered to us. So we're just simply making our own tables and inviting other women with us.
Yes.
What advice, Carla, would you give a woman starting down this path of entrepreneurship?
So I think the two most important realizations I've had over these past 6 years is that if you really want to make consistent income or consistent sales, you have to continue to work on growing your audience, so bringing in new leads and new potential clients, and you have to make more offers. So you have to let that audience know what you have to offer and how they can work with you. So my advice would be to pick a platform where you can grow your audience for free, whatever social media platform that may be. Definitely also grow your email list and turn those followers into subscribers, because that means now you have two ways of marketing to those people. And I actually make most sales through email marketing when I launch. It's really like amazes me every single time, but people expect to receive offers and promotions in their emails, and you're not relying on you're not depending on an algorithm. So I'm a huge fan of email marketing. And then, yeah, make more offers or learn how to package your offers in a different way. So even if you just have one thing that you're selling, learn how to talk about it in different ways and learn how to package it in different ways. So maybe that's, you know, 1 month you have a special discount. Maybe another month you have a special bonus. Maybe another month you create a bundle. Maybe another month you have a giveaway and then you reach out to all the people that didn't win. So just literally becoming a master at repackaging the same thing, or obviously creating other offers. Because for the people that are following you, there's only going to be, I think, like, okay, you have the stalkers who are just like watching you, right? And some of them may never buy, but then you have people who will either unsubscribe or unfollow at some point, or people who will buy. And for some of them, it might take them 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years until they're ready to buy. But it has to be the right time and the right offer for the right person to buy. So putting those offers out there will mean that you're going to make more sales.
I think that's amazing advice. I see that often with folks, my business clients, where they're scared to literally go out and say, here's what I do and here's how you pay me.
Yeah.
But without that, we don't have a business. Without that, we have a really fun hobby and lots of knowledge. But without that, we don't have a business. So we have to be able to show up and say, I do these things. Here are the different ways you can buy them. And here's how you give me money. Because that's what a business is, right? So I love how you have become this just genius at, and I literally right before we hopped on, got one of your emails that went out today, because I am on your email list, and I got one of your emails for a bundle that you're selling today. And I read the emails every single time. I've already purchased a bunch of your things. I'm in a bunch of your things, but I still read the emails every time because you have mastered the art of every single time I'm like, ooh, what is she doing now? Even though half the time it is the same things, right? It's the same information packaged differently from a different angle to a different niche, you know, to a different subgroup of your email list. And I think people just really can learn from the whole, the people entered your world for a reason. Now you just have to show up and give them what they came there to get. And those who unsubscribe were never going to be your clients anyway. So just keep marketing to the ones that are there because, like you always say, they know, like, and trust you. They are here for a specific reason.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the problems we have or we face, especially on Instagram, right? It's the vanity numbers that we're chasing, like more followers, more likes, more comments, more views. And we completely ignore the people that are actually watching us and that are following us. And we just decide to, yeah, not tell them how to work with us because we're busy chasing new followers.
Yeah. Or scared to say, hi, by the way, I'm selling this thing. Right? Mm-hmm. But like, we have to just talk about it. We have to just come out and say, also this week, this is happening. And next week you can work with me this way. We just have to get over that. And this is a female thing, I think, because men have very little qualms about this from what I've seen. As females, we have to just be okay with knowing that we get to charge for our knowledge and our wisdom and our service. We don't have to just give free advice because we're females and therefore everyone assumes we're just natural caretakers and somehow owe our wisdom to others. We don't. We get to charge for that, right? We have a lot of conversations around that here.
And I love how you're doing this, actually, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I love watching your stories and just all of the amazing offers that you have to offer. It's awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that a lot. And I will actually say for anyone listening, that wasn't always easy either, right? Like that took a lot of me kind of soul searching and going, okay, why is this so difficult? And why am I struggling just saying the things I want to say? Because it's almost always a me issue, right? Like for any of us listening, it's ourselves that are keeping us from that because we built up these stories in our head about people are going to do this or someone's going to judge and nobody's doing that. It's like when you have gym class in eighth grade and everybody thinks everyone's looking at you. Nobody's looking at you because everyone thinks everyone's looking at them. So everyone's just worried about themselves. It's that, right? Like just go out there, just be you, be genuine. That's my biggest advice always. Be authentic and genuine and it will land the way it's meant to land, right? So thank you for that side note. I appreciate that.
So the last question we have for you is we really want to know, you've gone through all of these struggles, but how did you overcome that and get through those really hard times?
So I think I've literally always had either been in some kind of coaching program, group program, taken a course or had a mentor. I think now is probably the first time that I'm not currently working with someone in 6 years. And that's just for just the reason that right now I'm just chilling and I'm figuring out what I want to do next. But having that support and, you know, also having the community that comes with being in a group program or being in a mastermind has been not just incredible for, you know, that feeling of I'm not alone in this. I have someone that can help me and who's their interest literally is my success. Having that support has been incredible. Also just being in a room with other women who are at that next level and who are dreaming bigger than me and who are playing bigger than me has been incredible for my mindset and just for everything. Like I remember the first time I was in a mastermind, everyone was already making six figures and I was just barely made $20,000 the year before. And just being in that room with women who were making $100,000 in 10 weeks, it just kind of showed me what's possible. So definitely that coaching support community. And then really just sitting down with my fears and literally just looking at, okay, what is actually a fact here and what is just a fear? So if I have a bad month and I run a lot of ads, right? I run a lot of Facebook and Instagram ads. And there are months that are just not as good. And then there are months that are really good. And obviously it's all great when it's going well. But when you're losing money, that's when it gets hard. And it's okay if it's one day, but if there's, you know, a season, and I've come to learn that now that's just the seasonality of the business. There's going to be months where I can predict to make a lot of money. And there's going to be months where I can predict for ad costs to go up. And now I just know that. And so I have a less of an emotional response when I know that, you know, this month is not going to be as good as last month or as next month, and not letting that affect me. So like literally, I think that the biggest problem is when your fear takes over, you go into this
paralysis.
Yeah. Thank you. Paralysis. And you stop taking action, and you're taking action if you're taking action from a place of fear rather than a place of trust. And that's literally where things go wrong. So always, especially in the moments when things aren't working, going into that place of trust and saying like, this is just part of my journey. Whatever I am going through right now, I'm meant to learn this, and I'm going to learn from this, and I'm going to continue to show up, and I'm going to try something else, because there's a million other people out there who are succeeding. So why shouldn't I succeed?
Oh my God, there's so much wisdom there. I literally took notes on that. There's so much wisdom there. But you said this one thing that Brooke and I talk about this a lot, because Brooke and I both also always have mentorship in some form or another, because we know the value of that. And just being able, like you said, to rely on the greater group to kind of carry you through those moments when the fear threatens to overtake. But you said this thing, you wanted to be in a space with people who were dreaming bigger than me and playing bigger than me. And that is huge. And I feel like that's the thing that intimidates a lot of people. I got a DM actually right before this from somebody saying, well, I really want to invest in this program, but you know, I want to build my business a little bit more before I invest in your program. And it just always is that, like, it's that chuckle and that no, like, we got to look at that backwards, because you will grow your business, you will scale your business, you will catapult your business the second you let go of this, I have to do better first mentality. You will do better when. That's the whole point of mentorship. Get in the space with people that are doing things that make you just a little bit intimidated. Get in the space with people who are going to push you right to your edge, where you're going to learn to fly. And I love that that was in your advice just now, because that obviously has worked for you. That obviously, from my experience and Brooke's experience, has worked for the two of us. It's that ability to know that others have gone before you. You do not need to reinvent the wheel, but you still get to be authentically you through the guidance and wisdom of all of those other people in your life. And I just freaking love all of everything that you just said in that piece of advice. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you.
No, that was awesome.
That was so beautiful. So can you share the best way for people to connect with you? Like, where do you hang out most on the internet? I'm guessing Instagram. I love your Instagram. But do you mind just sharing how people can connect?
Yes. Instagram, Carla Biesinger is my handle, B-I-E Singer. I respond to all of the DMs myself. I don't have anyone else responding for me. So send me a message. I'll reply personally. Might take a day or so, but I will definitely reply.
And definitely reach out. Carla is amazing. If you don't already follow her, do so. I am so grateful you were here with us. I'm grateful to know you. And thank you for sharing all of your wonderful history, story, journey, wisdom with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Amazing. Where are you right now? You're in Lisbon right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's always one of those, where in the world is Carla Biesinger? Because we don't know, because she's could be anywhere. Well, I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. It's afternoon for you. So I hope you get to wind down and enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Embodied CEO podcast. To connect with me, Brooke, you can find me on Instagram at westnutrition.co, and you can visit my website, westnutrition.co.
And to connect with me, Kirsten, head on over to Instagram and look for Your Fitness Dietitian, or head to yourfitnessdietitian.com on the web.
Make sure to follow, subscribe, and share the Embodied CEO podcast.
And now go out there and disrupt that status quo.